ground control to Major Tom.
Good evening. Yep, okay. Good evening. Welcome to Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Treble. This is the 11th installment of... Sorry. Okay, let's start over. Good evening. Welcome to the 11th installment and the first show of Spring 2016 of Let's Rock and Roll. Even though if you listened last week, this you'll know that this is not my first show. But we, and if you remember last week, I paid a lovely tribute to David Bowie. And in honor of the tribute last night to him at the Grammys, we're going to repeat this show again. So listen every Tuesday nights on radio.dominican.edu for some classic rock. I'll be telling you about a legendary band or artist from the classic rock era. We're talking 60s and 70s here. Now the baby boomers feeling nostalgic and the newer generations ready to discover something old yet something brand new. So here's David Bowie. And the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Alright, unless you've been living under a rock, David Bowie died last month. Fun fact, not at all. No, but the world lost truly an immaculate artist in Bowie. When I was requesting to bring back this radio program, David Bowie was going to be my first artist. So it's truly only fitting tonight that I get to pay tribute to one of my favorite musicians growing up. Well, Bowie was born David Robert Jones in London on January 8, 1947, and his musical talent was prevalent then with the recorder and school choir. When he was 9 years old, his father brought home a collection of 45s by American artists like Fats Domino, Little Richard, and Elvis Presley. The records influenced young Bowie enough to eventually pursue a career as a musician. Bowie attended Bromley Technical High School, where he met and befriended future rock and roll guitarist Peter Frampton, none other than Peter Frampton. And the two would actually collaborate and play live shows together. But the connection, Bowie's most influential teacher at this school at the time was Peter Frampton's father, Owen. Bowie studied art, music, and design at this school, and he picked up playing the saxophone at age 12. So he was just tuning his skills. But at age 15 in 1962, Bowie suffered a lifelong injury to his eyes. Yes, here's the story of why David Bowie has two different color eyes. His friend George Underwood punched him in the eye after fighting over a girl. And David Bowie's left eye was permanently dilated, giving a false impression of a change in eye color. For anyone else, this would immediately end a friendship. Like, you punch me in the eye, I don't want to be friends with you. But Bowie and Underwood actually remained good friends, as Underwood went on to create the album covers for Bowie's early albums. That same year, Bowie forms his first rock and roll band called the Conrads, and he officially leaves technical school to become a pop star, much to his mother's chagrin. Bowie's band members weren't as serious about a music career as he was, so he ditches them and forms a new band, the King Bees. And in June 1964, Bowie releases the song Liza Jane or Louie Louie Go Home, or Liza Jane and then Louie Louie Go Home was on the B-side, under the name Davy Jones with the King Bees. There's no commercial success for the single, and that's going to be a trend that you're going to hear but with David Bowie, especially in the early years. Well, Bowie then quits the King Bees because he wasn't finding success with them, and they played more blues numbers, and he wanted to be more pop. And he joined the Mannish Boys, which also fails. Bowie actually plays in 10 bands in his lifetime. I'm not going to list them all, but he keeps hopping back and forth between bands. But, you know, that's him. However, the problem Bowie was running into with all these bands is that they were copies of the Rolling Stones and The Who, because this was the mid-1960s, and those were the two most popular bands. And if he were to really make it as a pop star, he had to fulfill his own creativity and sound, instead of sounding just like a copy of Mick Jagger, for example. His idiosyncrasy was prevalent at age 17, when he was interviewed on a BBC program as the founder of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Long-Haired Men. He complained, "It's not nice when people call you darling in that." Well, he officially changes his name from Davy Jones to David Bowie. And you know, if you've been past listeners of this show, you know that I like to talk about the story of how one band or artist gets their name. So, David Bowie comes up with his name after running into being mistaken for Davy Jones of the Monkees.
So he renames himself after Jim Bowie, the 19th century American frontiersman who popularized the Bowie knife. And also the rhyme with, like, Davy and then Bowie, that sort of sound. I guess he liked it, so he thought it was cool. And there we go. But as David Bowie, he releases the April 1967 single, The Laughing Gnome. Using speeded-up, high-pitched vocals, many fans argue that this is his worst song he's ever recorded. In fact, in 1990, when Bowie suggested that his fans should vote via phone which tracks he should play for his world tour that year, The Laughing Gnome was the most requested song, probably as a joke, and for the hardcore fans just to see and hear what that's like. David Bowie didn't play it. However, 6 weeks later, back to 1965, we're hopping back and forth in time a little bit here. Bowie releases his eponymous debut album, a mix of pop, psychedelic, and music hall. This album failed abysmally. All to avoid the scenario, he paid more attention to his image, thanks to London dancer Lindsay Kemp studying the theatricality of dance under her instruction, something Bowie was super into. And as a result of these lessons, we see the little first incarnation of David Bowie, the illustrious performer. But his kind of starting point was he formed his own mime troupe, Feathers, as well as an experimental art ensemble. He even performed his mime act as an opening act for Mark Bolan and his band T-Rex in the early days. Eventually, this paid off as he released his first successful single in July 1969, Space Oddity, which is the song you heard in the intro. And that song was released 5 days ahead of the Apollo 11 launch, reaching number 5 in the UK charts. So when the BBC were covering this moon landing, of course they used Space Oddity. The fictional character Major Tom would appear in two Bowie songs after Space Oddity, Ashes to Ashes in 1980 and Hollow Space Boy in 1996. You would think Bowie would find more success in this, but this was kind of the beginning, but not stardom. Well, a few months prior, Bowie met and married Angela Barnett, whom became Bowie's metaphorical Yoko Ono, and pretty much took a good amount of control of his career from this point on. Well, once she gained more control over his career, Bowie established a backing band with Tony Visconti on bass, Mick Ronson on guitar, and Mick Woodmansey on drums, going in more of a glam direction that he was searching for. Bowie formed this band called The Hype in 1970, and The Hype dressed up as superheroes on stage, initially. Well, unfortunately, they were booed off everywhere they played, so he kind of had to revamp the image there a little bit to just as his backing band, slowly becoming the Spiders from Mars. And in 1970, Bowie releases his first album with this new backing band, the third album, The Man Who Sold the World, containing references to schizophrenia, paranoia, and delusion. Another sound and image change that came out of this as well is David Bowie dressing more androgynously or sexually ambiguous. And the sound was definitely more heavy rock. So he's kind of going in that direction. But naturally, people were not so accepting of him. They either made fun of him or threatened him. However, to Bowie's advantage, he turned this into the infamous Ziggy Stardust character that would define Bowie's early career and pretty much his entire career. This is him becoming the ultimate pop idol. So let's take a break from this history lesson here and listen to some music. Take a listen to The Man Who Sold the World on Penguin Radio.
Up on the stairs, we spoke of what and when. Although I wasn't there, he said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone a long, long time ago. search for form and threat. For years and years I roamed, I gazed a gazeless stare at all the millions here. We must have died alone a long, long time ago.
Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll. That song that you just heard, The Man Who Sold the World, was about a man who has an encounter with a kind of doppelganger, a reflection of Bowie's personal multiple personality crisis of sorts. It's been covered most famously by Nirvana in the early 90s, which is actually a fantastic version. Yeah, it's a great version. Sorry, I just lose my train of thought sometimes. Bowie releases his next album, Hunky Dory, in 1971. Although not a commercial success like his prior albums, Hunky Dory features direct homages such as songs for Bob Dylan and Andy Warhol. The next year, 1972, would be the year Bowie finally tastes the first taste of success with the album The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, my favorite Bowie album, because it's more important that you know this. But this is truly his definitive, fantastic album. So, featured on this album is songs like Ziggy Stardust, Hang On To Yourself, and Starman, a song that I'm just hearing all the time in the commercials related to anything space. Also recently featured in the Oscar-nominated film The Martian, which when I saw that movie, I cried because it was just so beautiful. And Starman's kind of been the tribute Bowie song. Well, you're not going to hear it tonight. Instead, you're going to hear my favorite song off this album, quite possibly my favorite Bowie song of all time, Rock and Roll Suicide, detailing the fall of Ziggy Stardust into an old washed-up rock star. So let's take a listen to Rock and Roll Suicide on Penguin Radio.
Time takes a cigarette, puts it in your mouth. You pull on your finger, then another finger, then cigarette. The water wall is calling, it lingers, then you forget. Oh, 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 you're a rock and roll suicide. You're too old to lose it, too young to choose it. And the clock waits so patiently on your song. You walk past the cafe, but you don't eat when you've lived too long. Oh no, 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 you're a rock and roll suicide. Shift break for snarling as you stumble across the road. But the day breaks instead, so you hurry home. Don't let the sun blast your shadow. Don't let the milk float drive your mind. They're so natural.
unnatural, religiously unkind. Oh no, love, you're not alone. You're watching yourself, but you're too unfair. You've got your head all tangled up, but a fire can only make you care. Oh no, love, you're not alone. No matter what or who you've been, no matter when or where you've seen, all the lies did lacerate your brain. I've had my share, I'll help you with the pain. You're not alone.
Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Treble. Later, Bowie contributed backing vocals to Lou Reed's 1972 solo album, Transformer. Lou Reed was kind of his David Bowie's comparison back then. And the next year, he released Aladdin Sane, 1973, with probably the Bowie's most iconic album cover and makeup, the lightning bolt, and yeah. It topped the UK charts and was his first number one album. Bowie describes this as the album as Ziggy Going to America, containing songs he wrote while traveling in the U.S. during the Ziggy Stardust tour. And it spawned hits such as The Gene Genie and Panic in Detroit. Much to Bowie's dismay, the Ziggy character basically consumed him because he was being something that he wasn't. And the theatricality and that shock factor to his later Ziggy shows, examples were such as stripping down to a sumo wrestling loincloth and simulating oral sex with Ronson's guitar, just a, you know, casual things. This all became too much for him, leading Bowie to abruptly retire Ziggy Stardust at London's Hammersmith Odeon on July 3rd, 1973. And this is all documented in the film Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. It is a film I highly recommend. If you especially want to know early Bowie and how he was like live, watch that. Well, to distance himself from the Ziggy persona, Bowie re-released his back catalog, such as The Man Who Sold the World and Space Oddity in 1972, Life on Mars from the third album, Hunky Dory, in 73. That reached number 3 on the charts, and oddly enough, the worst song of Bowie's career, The Laughing Gnome, reached number 6 on the charts that same year. Also in 1973, Bowie released Pinups, a cover album of his favorite 1960s songs. The cover album features models Twiggy resting on his shoulder, just in case you wanted to know who that woman was. Well, a bigger change came in 1974. Bowie moves to the United States, specifically LA, and releases Diamond Dogs, his first non-Ziggy Stardust album. And this album featuring more soul and funk influences, with the theme of a wild future in a post-apocalyptic city a la George Orwell's 1984. Really, only David Bowie could pull something like this off. Also, one thing to say about David Bowie, he was also really good at changing from one genre to another, like a music chameleon, and I think he just pulls it off so well. But Diamond Dogs goes number 1 in the UK, producing hits such as the title track and Rebel Rebel, where Bowie plays just about every instrument on the album, including the famous guitar riff on Rebel Rebel. For those promoting the tour, Tony Basil, you know, "Oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you blow my mind, hey, Mickey, you didn't, yeah, you had that in your head." Tony Basil worked as Bowie's choreographer and later on his Glass Spire tour in 1987, so she's pretty legitimate. Meanwhile, Bowie was battling a cocaine addiction, paranoia, and emotional problems, and when a slight break in tour occurred, he seized it completely. The break tour happened in Philadelphia, and he started writing new songs and wanted to produce a new album, and that album was his 1975 Young Americans, which is adding just a massive emphasis on soul. Let's give you the title track for that. It's called Young Americans. And you are listening to this on Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. Yeah.
It took her minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows she'd have taken enough pain.
All night.
She wants a young American.
Young American, young American. She wants the young American. All night.
But she wants the young American. Standing right through the picture window, she finds a slinky back upon. Because as he passes, a foot in my sting. Heaven forbid she could take anything. But the freak and his title for nothing. This is a step and cuts his hand. Showing nothing, it smooths like a song. She cries, where are all Papa's heroes gone?
All night.
She wants a young American. These 20 years to have to die for the 50 more.
Pausing for station identification, this is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Currently, you are listening to Let's Rock and Roll, and I'm your host, DJ Treble. I hope you're enjoying this hour tribute to David Bowie. I know I'm always having a good time. Young Americans, the song, was a breakthrough hit for Bowie in the U.S., although the edited down version, the 3-minute, 11-second version, abysmal, terrible. This is why I'm playing the full version. You can't cut Bowie. When I was listening to the song, I heard the line, White's on the Soul Train. That's kind of funny because in 1975, David Bowie actually would perform on the TV show Soul Train, becoming one of the few white artists to do that. So I like that little connection there. Anyway, what Bowie was doing currently, he called it Plastic Soul. But on Young Americans, the lyrics are quite cynical with references to McCarthyism, black repression via Rosa Parks, Richard Nixon, who resigned as president 2 days before this song was even recorded, and the line from the Beatles song, A Day in the Life. I heard the news today, oh boy. The backing vocals on this song, if you want some famous people to know, it's the one and only Luther Vandross. John Lennon was heavily involved with this album. Well, by heavily, I mean he basically contributed the Fame version, like the Fame part of the song in Fame. So, and he gets a co-writing credit for some reason. And he also plays guitar and background vocals for Bowie's cover of Across the Universe. So, basically, John Lennon kind of partially gets Bowie responsible for being now popular in the United States. I don't know. Anyway, Bowie appeared on the variety, like I said. He, on Soul Train, he was miming to Fame as well as Golden Years. Golden Years was originally offered to one of Bowie's idols, Elvis Presley, but he declined. So, lucky us, we get David Bowie. And Bowie's next album, 76's Station to Station, introduced a new persona called the Thin White Duke, an extension of his first leading character Bowie actually ever played on film, 1976's The Man Who Fell to Earth. Bowie's cocaine addiction worsened, and a live TV audience in London witnessed this firsthand with this controversy. You know, it's not a Let's Rock and Roll show if I don't talk about controversies. Well, in 1976, the death of Spanish dictator Franco was announced hours before David's interview, and Bowie was asked to put his live interview on the back burner to air a live news feed from the Spanish government, because that was the news, that's the forefront. Bowie, being selfish and also out of it, he refused, so the interview goes live, and he's basically acting like he's out of it, looking absolutely just gazed because he's, you know, under the influence of cocaine. So his sanity went downhill as a result of this cocaine addiction. He was overdosing several times in 1976 and becoming physically weaker. Look at me. Well, the interview featured Bowie making positive comments about Hitler, which led to the establishment of the UK group Rock Against Racism, along with Eric Clapton's drunken rant about immigration that same year. I'll be doing a future show about Eric Clapton this semester, so I'll go into more depth about that story. Anyway, the Station to Station tour featured more pro-fascist comments from Bowie, being quoted in Stockholm, "Britain could benefit from a fascist leader." Well, he was even detained by customs on the Russian-Polish border for possessing Nazi souvenirs. The final straw was the Victoria Station incident. Arriving in an open-top Mercedes convertible, Bowie waved to the crowd that looked a little bit too much like a Nazi salute if you got the right angle. And, unfortunately, the British newspaper NME published this on British tabloids, and that's kind of what it looks like. Even though David says, "I was literally waving, that's the angle." Well, Bowie later admitted he was deranged and blamed the Hitler-loving on the cocaine and the Thin White Duke. It's, again, another persona apparently ruining Bowie's life. Well, we all know how adaptable Bowie is to change. So as a result, he moves to Switzerland in late 1976, and his cocaine addiction decreases. After dedicating a few months to his paintings, Bowie moved to West Berlin to clean up his act and revive his career. This is the territory we now enter called the Bowie Berlin Trilogy era, which a lot of people say this is his best work. Well, he discovered minimalism in West Berlin and put it together on his 1977 album Low, book one of the trilogy. One of the songs on the album, Subterraneans, was sung by Bowie in a completely self-invented language. Although the new sound wasn't totally accepted by his now newfound audience that were listening for the soul, but it was a lot more welcomed in 1977's Heroes, book two. I'm going to be playing that title track for you, the most popular song from Bowie's Berlin Trilogy era, quite possibly his most famous popular song of his career. This is Heroes, only on Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Treble on radio.dominican.edu.
You heaven away. We can beat them just for one day. We can be heroes just for one day.
You're listening to Let's Rock and Roll on radio.dominican.edu. I have to really comment on Heroes for a second. Although the beginning, the first 3 minutes, where David Bowie singing in a lower pitch, like, obviously it's great, but Bowie really masters the high note, which is equally as impressive, probably more impressive than anything. But, like I said, we're talking about David Bowie, and I really wish I could share my admiration for him when he was still alive. Well, speaking of heroes, segue on point, I know. Bowie's track was inspired by a 1975 German song, Hero, which he and producer Brian Eno just absolutely admired. The song itself is incredibly romantic, with the image of Bowie and backing vocalist Antonia Maas embracing in a kiss by the wall outside of their studio. That's kind of a cover-up. Shady enough, the image was to protect the fact that married producer Tony Visconti and Maas were actually having an affair. So, it's romantic. It's romantic. At the end of 1977, Bowie performed Heroes for Mark Bolan's TV show, Mark, shortly before Bolan was killed in a car crash in London. He performed it again 2 days later for Bing Crosby's final CBS TV Christmas special, which he joined Crosby for a little duet of Little Drummer Boy, which would actually become a worldwide hit 5 years later, around Christmas time. The final album of the Berlin Trilogy, Lodger, was released in 1979. On the track Move On off this album is a backwards rewrite of All the Young Dudes, which I always had to ask this question. Is All the Young Dudes an original David Bowie song, or is it originally Mott the Hoople? But I have to figure that out. But I will definitely research that. I never remember to. Well, also, by the end of the 1970s, Bowie is divorcing from his wife, Angela, specifically in 1980. New decade, new Bowie. He releases the 1980 album Scary Monsters and Super Creeps, which features the number one hit Ashes to Ashes, which you would think I would play that because, oh, that's the most famous Bowie song. No, I actually don't like that song. So, sorry. However, we are going to play something off of this album called Fashion. This is all kicking off the new romantic era, which he actually criticizes in this next song. Kind of just how people act and how snobby they can be. There's really nothing special to this one. I just thought it was cool after I heard it in the movie Clueless and the 2012 London Olympics closing ceremony. So, you know, we're just going to go play that right now. This is Fashion on Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Trouble. Rock and Rollers! Glad to have you back on Let's Rock and Roll with one and only DJ Treble. We're going to enter the 80s history of David Bowie, which a lot of people find an acquired taste of. Well, in 81, Bowie paired with Queen for the release of Under Pressure, which I have happily belted out any chance I get. Well, Bowie saw more commercial success, probably his most commercial success, when 83's Let's Dance. Personally, I'm not big on 80s Bowie, and if you ask most Bowie fans, they agree, but this song is my jam, and there's a funny story that's going to follow this song. And this song's simply called Modern Love on Let's Rock and Roll.
I catch a fever, boy.
Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. This is your host, DJ Treble. We're wrapping things up here on the 11th installment of the show tonight, paying an hour-long tribute to the late David Bowie. Now, for that story on modern love, my mom and my dad used to dance to this song because they found it so catchy and so cute. And pretty much when they had me, when I was a little infant, my mom actually just told me this last week, when this song came on the radio, that my mom or my dad would actually pick me up and I would start dancing with them. So apparently I was into Bowie when I was a mere infant. And that's the only rational explanation I have, but that's probably why I liked that song so much. And I just didn't know it till 18 years later. Well, there you go. Moving on, in 1984, Bowie collaborated with Tina Turner for the album Tonight, featuring the hit Blue Jean. God, I love that song. In 1985, Bowie performed at Wembley for Live Aid, a concert for Ethiopian famine relief, which I'm embarrassed to admit I didn't know that until now, even though I mentioned it so many times. During this event, the premiere of the most hilarious duet and music video in the music history was released. Bowie and Mick Jagger's Dancing in the Street. It is everything beautiful in this universe. Go YouTube this after. Guaranteed to remove you from a terrible mood anytime. Well, 1986 comes along. Bowie's most notable acting role was as Jareth, the Goblin King, in the Jim Henson film Labyrinth. He wrote 5 songs for the album and kills it in the film as well. It's a must watch. It's, yes, just everything David Bowie all the time. That is my advice. 2 years later, he appeared as Pontius Pilate on Martin Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ. I think I butchered that. Among his oddest film roles are The Shark in Yellowbeard and a sinister FBI agent, Philip Jeffries, in Twin Peaks' Fire Walk With Me. By the mid-1980s, though, Bowie becomes too mainstream for the critics. No, really, actually, he becomes too mainstream after being so weird in the early days. His Glass Spire tour and recent albums were criticized for being overproduced, to which Bowie absolutely agrees with. Bowie quits his solo career in 1989 to form the band Tin Machine. Their eponymous debut album was critically acclaimed, but drew some criticism for their politicized lyrics. Bowie finds love in the 90s with Somali-born supermodel Iman, marrying in 1992. Tin Machine disbands this year as well, and Bowie appears at the Freddie Mercury tribute concert performing Heroes, All the Young Dudes, and Under Pressure with Annie Lennox, which is an amazing duet. He releases a few more albums in the 90s, and in 1997, he celebrates his 50th birthday in style with a concert at Madison Square Garden. His guests on stage were the likes of Lou Reed, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, and Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins and Sonic Youth, just to name a few. Bowie was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1996 and collaborates with Trent Reznor of the Nine Inch Nails on the song I'm Afraid of Americans for the film Showgirls. Bowie, at this point, is doing anything and everything to stay relevant and in the music business. So, September 1996, David Bowie broke new ground yet again with the internet-only release of the single Telling Lies. Back in 96, it would have taken more than 11 minutes to download over a dial-up internet connection. Now it will take 0.1 seconds on your phone. A year later, he launched his own internet service provider, BowieNet. Well, David Bowie always staying ahead of the game. Bowie was offered the CBE in 2000 and Knighthood in 2003, but he declined both. In 2004, Bowie suffers a heart attack due to a blocked artery and was forced to undergo emergency surgery in Germany. So we almost lost Bowie! Good thing we didn't. Also, this is kind of a little funny story. While performing in Oslo in 2004, Bowie was hit in the eye with a lollipop while on stage. I'm sorry, that's too funny. David Bowie getting hit in the eye. Not like that's happened to him before. In 2006, Bowie was the fourth greatest living icon in Britain, behind Paul McCartney, Morrissey, and Sir David Attenborough. That same year, he appeared in The Prestige, along with Hugh Jackman and Scarlett Johansson. And in 2007, he voiced the character of Lord Royal Highness in SpongeBob SquarePants. In recent years, he has cited Arcade Fire as his favorite band in the past 10 years, even being featured on the song Reflector off of that album in 2013. The point of all these random facts, though, David Bowie maintained relevancy in many forms of the media and societies and reached out to generations of audiences, which only makes his death at 69 all the more tragic. David Bowie leaves a monstrous legacy, which obviously has been proven with the multitude of tributes that have happened, especially with Lady Gaga's performance last night. Bowie is believed to have sold around 140 million albums over his career, and we all know that number is going to increase. Rolling Stone liked him a lot, too. They ranked him 39th on their list of the 100 greatest artists of all time, and 23rd on their list for the best singers of all time. Personally, I grew up with David Bowie as one of my favorites to listen to. No one really knows why. I probably liked his image, and when I grow older, like, his songs really, you know, affect me personally, so I always relate to the lyrics, so now I'm just a David Bowie fanatic, and I'm proud. When he died, I listened to his music for 3 days straight. I remember my 7th grade teacher, my English student teacher, he was really cute, and he loved David Bowie, and we bonded fondly over that. So if there's an off chance that Mr. Robert Roberts, who taught at John Barrett Middle School in Carmichael, California in 2009 and 2010, is listening, thank you for the good memories revolved around David Bowie. You and Bowie are awesome. Well, that concludes tonight's show. Don't forget to check out all the other DJs at radio.dominican.edu. My show, Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Treble, airs every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. I hope you enjoyed this hour about Bowie tonight. This is DJ Treble signing off with the title track from Bowie's final album released on his 69th birthday and 2 days before his death, Black Star. I wish you all a happy night. This is Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Go Pangs!
Oh, Something happened on the day he died. Spirit rose a meter and stepped aside. Somebody else took his place and bravely cried.
I'm a black star, I'm a black star.
How many times does an angel fall? How many people lie instead of talking tall? He trod on sacred ground, he cried loud into the crowd.
Take you home.
I'm a black star.
Take your passport and shoes.
I'm a pop star.
And your sedatives move.
I'm a black star.
You're a flash in the pan.
I'm a rolling star.
I'm the great I am.
I'm a black star.
I'm a black star. Way off my money. Brave.